Let's look again at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5. Colossians 3, 1 through 5. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Our background note for today has to do with Gnostic thinking, which was around the church at Colossae. Now, you learned about Gnostic thinking in our earlier studies of Colossians. I hope you learned about it anyway. Gnostic thought had not yet penetrated the church at Colossae, but it was around, and there was a danger, and Paul is writing to warn the Colossian believers of this danger. The Gnostic way of thinking was that you could do whatever you wanted with your body. It didn't matter. Only your spirit and your soul mattered. That's what really counted. You could let it all hang out with your body. Sin all you wanted with your body. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in this great epistle, no, it does matter what you do with your body. And if you're going to make Christ supreme and all-sufficient, remember that's the theme, that's the great theme of Colossians, the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Christ. And if you're going to make Christ supreme and all-sufficient in your life, personally, then you will have victory over sin, including the sins of the body, not just sins of the mind, sins of the body. Look again at verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But now, how do you get this victory over sin? Sins of the body, any sin. Well, that's what Colossians 3, 1 through 5 is all about. We want to know this today just as much as Paul wanted the Colossians to know this in the first century. This is God's word. How do you get victory over sin in your life? And that really brings us to our doctrinal point for today, and it's the same one as we had in our last session, namely the biblical method of victory over sin is the RAM method. The RAM method, not the idea you ram the Bible down your throat, but R-A-M. R, realize your position in Christ. A, aspire to the things of heaven. M, mortify your members on earth. You will never have triumph over sin by sheer willpower, your own strength. You got to use the biblical method. Now, in our last session together, we talked about the first step in this method, the R, the realize your position in Christ. God sees us as having died with Christ and risen with Christ, and ascended with Christ. That's our spiritual position. More than that, we have new life in Christ. We're not just forgiven sinners. We actually have divine life. It's true. And we have to realize it. That's the first step in getting and gaining victory over sin in your life, to realize these truths. Suppose right now you're in debt. You got all kinds of financial problems. Did that ring a bell with anybody here? All of a sudden, you get the word that you've become a millionaire. You know, your rich uncle died or something like that. We don't want to have your uncle die or anything like that, but let's just say you get $1 million. You're now a millionaire. Now, you can go on living in debt with all these financial problems, even though you're a millionaire, or you can pay your debts and get out of debt and be relieved of all these financial problems. But what's step one in getting out of debt and getting rid of these financial problems? It's to realize you are a millionaire. You really are. Now you got to act on that truth. You got to reckon it. You got to realize it. Well, in the same way, in this matter dealing with sin in our lives, you've got to realize first the truth, your position in Christ, that we really do have power. There really is new life in Christ. But now we move on. The next step is the A, aspire to the things of heaven. Look again at verses 1 and 2. The end of verse 1. we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's aspiration. That's the A. Aspire to the things of heaven, not expire, right? Aspire. Aspire means to seek something high or great. Aspire is not the idea of being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Aspire is not the idea of walking around with your head in the clouds and losing touch with reality and not fulfilling your earthly responsibilities. That's not what it's all about. Aspire is not the idea of some out-of-the-body mystical experience, caught up into the heavens, something like that. No, aspiring to the things of heaven has to do with our priorities. It has to do with our goals in this life, lining up our priorities and our goals in line with our spiritual position and new life in Christ. See the way verse 1 goes again? If or since you have been raised with Christ, that's your position. Now, in view of that, seek those things which are above. That's aspiration. We're not only to be what we are, we're to think what we are. We're to think as we are. Set your mind on things above. So it really does begin, this whole matter of getting your priorities straight, setting your goals right. It really does start with a thought life, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Capture every thought. Are we doing that? That's aspiration, to set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. So where are our priorities? What are our goals? If we're preoccupied with getting ahead in this life with the best this world has to offer, if we're preoccupied with earthly things, getting rich, getting the most pleasure out of life, well then that's kind of a giveaway that we're not practicing this second step, aspiration. We're not setting our mind on things above, but we're setting it on earthly things. Now, we're not saying that if you're going to practice aspiration, you got to quit your job, you got to give all your money away, you can't have any more fun. That's not the idea at all. It really does get down to your priorities, setting your priorities, your goals properly, in line with our position in Christ. How much time, for example, do I spend each day with the Lord, in His Word, in prayer? The point that we're making here is this really is a step toward getting victory over sin in our lives. We all have got to admit, we struggle with sin. We do sin. And if you're going to make Christ supreme and all-sufficient in life, you got to start with conquering sin, having victory over sin. We'll never become sinless in this life, but we are to sin less. Aspiration is a definite, necessary step. See if I can illustrate. Think of your closest moments with the Lord, when you were real close with the Lord. Special time. Maybe a devotional time or just out enjoying God's creations. Sometime like that. Did you feel like sinning then? How come? Well, it's because, you see, you were setting your mind on things above. And that's part of gaining victory over sin. The more we have those times, the more you will have victory over sin. But you might say, yeah, but I don't have those times that often. I need more of those times. Well, that's where maybe step number 3 becomes very important. And that's the M. Mortify your members on earth. That we have there in verse 5. Therefore, put to death. That's the idea in mortify. I picked the word mortify because it comes right out of the King James Version. That's the word that's used. And it does make for a nice little word, right? Ram, R-A-M. But mortify means to put to death. The idea here is not to commit suicide or mutilate your body. That's not the idea. Notice some translations even use the word consider. That's the idea. Consider your earthly members to be dead. Dead bodies don't sin. Mortification, by definition now, is a ruthless rejection of all habits and practices which are known to be wrong. And therefore, that will be consistent with our position. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, 29 and 30? If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, did the Lord mean to carry that out literally and mutilate your body? No. What he means here is we need to use drastic action at times, a ruthless rejection of all habits and practices which are known to be wrong. The verb tense that's used here means a decisive action. Do it. Have it done. Put to death. Not too long ago, you read about or heard about that guy who was trapped under a log with his leg, and he personally cut his own leg off so that he could survive. You know about that, right? Well, I hesitate to share an illustration like that, because when you share an illustration like that, sometimes people go off on tangents in their thought and they never get back to the application. But that literally took place not too long ago. This guy was trapped in the woods. And rather than die, he cut off his leg with a penknife, cut off his own leg with a penknife, made his way to a tractor, and finally got to a hospital, and his life was saved. Well, there's an illustration, if you will, or a picture, if you will, of mortification, a ruthless rejection. You got to take drastic action. Mortification, putting to death the members of our body, is not always easy. It's painful many times. It is going to affect what TV programs you watch. It is going to affect videos you select to watch. It is going to affect the literature you read. It is going to affect your relationships. Maybe some of you need to break a relationship that you're involved in right now that isn't pleasing to the Lord. But it does work. The RAM method does work. And that really brings us to our practical application. And the way I'd like to put it today is, in order to force yourself to practice the RAM method, get more involved in Christian service. This is the practical application. This is the PA for today, the practical application. In order to force yourself to practice the RAM method, get more involved in Christian service. You know, I haven't been involved in a lot of sin in the last few hours. Would you believe that? How come? Because I've been preparing this talk. Well, this is really the RAM method at work, especially the A, the aspiring to the things of heaven. The more you're involved in the things of the Lord, whether it be preparing talks or whatever, the less you're going to sin. I would suggest you get more involved in Christian service. Let's say taking on a Sunday school class, for example. You will find the RAM method at work helping you get victory over sin. Studying to teach the class, you'll be practicing the realizing your position in Christ and aspiring to the things of heaven. Knowing your responsibility to be a model to your students will help you get on with the M, putting to death the members of your body. You're going to be a model to your students. The RAM method sounds a little trite, sounds a little canned, but it does work because it's biblical. You too can have more than forgiveness of sins. You can have victory over sin. This is what the Lord wants to see in our lives. Let's practice the RAM method.